finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Thank you, Ron. There we go. Word of God, speak. When you hear the expression Word of God, we recognize it means the Bible. And can the Bible speak literally? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The living scripture can indeed speak to you. Yeah, I think we need some lights here, if we could, please. Thank you. That's a little better. The living scripture can indeed speak to you, and the word of God discern your thoughts and heart. It will shape your life in godliness if you allow it. The word of God speak, it's amazing to think that the very creator of the universe would actually speak to you personally. And perhaps the most startling proclamation of the Bible is that God will indeed do just that. Speak to you, lead you, guide you. What a wonder. Word of God speak. And of course, we think of it as the Bible, but the Word of God also and really refers to Jesus. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Talking to the non-believing Jews one day, Jesus made a proclamation to them, but to us, the believer in reality, in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Word of God, speak. Mercy Me sings, the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. To be still, and to know that you're in this place, please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In 2001, the Christian band Mercy Me exploded into popularity with their hit song, I Can Only Imagine. You may or may not have seen the movie that kind of tells the story of how it came about. It's actually a very good movie. And with the hit song came endless concerts and touring and the expectations to produce another album. And touring and working on the album at the same time began to take a toll. And Mercy Me, Bart Millard speaks of the time and his exhaustion and frustration. And after a concert one night, he says this, I went to bed just really frustrated. I started to feel like everything I was saying was the same. I just thought I have nothing else to say, and I went to bed with that on my mind. About 3 in the morning, Bart suddenly woke up, grabbed his journal, and began to write, I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? So tucking the journal away, he goes back to sleep. Several weeks later, they're in the studio again late at night, tired and trying to finish up their next album, and they're struggling. The producer says, we need like one more song for this album, and they're really wrestling with it. So Bart starts looking through his journal, and he comes across some vaguely familiar writing. And moved by the words of the journal he wrote that night, he and his producer wrote the song, Word of God Speak, and it became very popular. And the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. To be still. Know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. And Word of God Speak. I think there are times in life when we need just that, to be still. And know that God is in this place, our place, where we need him, and that he will speak to us. And that's both in our lives personally. We need that assurance that God will be in our place and our church corporately. Psalm 46:10 reminds us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I'm a God. All too often, that be still part is the hardest part. To be still and to listen. How many of you ever heard the expression? I think I've heard it many times over the years. I might have used it. I have a convention going on in my head, you know, or a committee in my head. We got all this stuff running around in our head, and life gets challenging, confusing, and our minds just take off. We have this convention going on in our heads, and the more we listen to it, the more confused we get. And if we listened, really listened, not to the convention, but to God, we would hear him say, be still and know that I am God. And there is a discipline that would benefit every follower of Jesus Christ. And that's a discipline of getting before God, seeking him for his wisdom in the situation you're in, and then being still before him, trusting he will lead you. I've had that expression for years. Most of our prayers are just giving God advice. You know, we give him advice. We tell him what we want him to happen. Just do this. And we're not still. We just tell him we move on. God tells us to pray and present our needs to him, but that we need to be still and hear from him. And it takes discipline to quiet your mind before God, to shut off the convention in your head and seek God for his direction, for his wisdom. All too often, we run headlong into the situation and try to make sense of it ourselves and just move forward, racing at it. Proverbs 26:12 tells us, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And the biblical definition of a fool is someone who disregards God's word. The Bible lists a lot of characteristics of such a person, often contrasting him with one that is wise. The fool, to the Bible, is unrighteous. The fool hates what is holy, righteous, and good, and he contrasts it with loves evil. The fool is unwise. He does not seek wisdom to react and will probably reject it if it was applied to him or acquired it. And the Bible says the person who thinks he's got it all figured out, the person that tries to do all these things on his own, just runs into it, who does not exceed God in his wisdom, the Bible says there are more hope for a fool than for him. So while the Bible really disparages a fool, they say, when you just think you got all together on yourself, you're worse than a fool, if you will. If you were with us last week, we began looking at God's wisdom and his promise regarding it, and we looked at it in James 1, 5, 8 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And we saw last week that God's wisdom is indeed available to us, but that we need to trust him for it, according to James, and we saw this without doubting. And we saw, Scripture tells us, a doubter is tossed back and forth, up and down, like a seasick Christian, we've called it, becoming unstable in all his ways, confused. And then we also saw that the Scripture declares and clarifies the difference between earthly wisdom, at times even demonic wisdom, and God's wisdom. That we have a right and ability to choose to seek God's wisdom. And we saw this in James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When we study these verses, we saw that God's wisdom, divine wisdom, is available to us. But it brings with it not only much-needed wisdom, but a life of peace, a divine peace as well. And so I don't think there's any question. We all need God's wisdom. In reality, we need it on a daily basis. We need God's wisdom in the everyday events of life. And we need his wisdom when faced with life's most important decisions. And the good news is that God promises his wisdom when we turn to him in faith, believing him for it. And we never know when we will be called on to make the most important decision of our lives. A decision that will change and alter our life completely. We never know when that will happen. How much more important than to practice seeking God for his wisdom and receiving it every day in everyday things of life, not just when the crisis hits. And we learn that wisdom is far more than knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Any of us, if we were to survey our life and our past decisions and the things we thought were wise, we've all made our share of unwise choices, the things we regretted later on, the times we blew it. How many of you ever seen the show American Pickers? I've watched it several times. I like it. And these guys go around the country in the junkyards and people's homes and different places and collect junk and sell it. That's how they make their living. One time I was watching it, and they went into a museum, and they said, every time we have a chance to pick, they call it a museum, we jump at it because every museum has a room full of mistakes. The things they did that they thought would be profitable were right, and it's not. It's a room full of mistakes. Looking back on our lives, we all have a room full of mistakes, if you will. And if we're not, aren't careful, we're so hard on ourselves, and we're not hard on ourselves, the devil quickly reminds us of them, causing doubt to rush in. And have you ever noticed, even though you and I have had our past mistakes, that God is not in the habit of bringing them up? In fact, if you listen carefully to his word, he's either telling you who you are now in Christ or who you can be and will be in Christ. He's not the one that brings them up. God looks forward, and we should do the same. Look forward. Learn from our past mistakes and look forward. Look forward, leaning on God for his promise of wisdom, seeking his knowledge and his wisdom to apply it. The reality is this, that knowledge can't be memorized. Wisdom must think things through. Wisdom enables you to use knowledge correctly. Knowledge can be memorized. We've all memorized a bunch of facts, but the application of it. And Scripture informs us the best place to start on this pursuit of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's that fool again, despising wisdom and instruction. And the fear of the Lord here can be understood as a holy reverence, if you will. The scholars say in the wording, it's really a positive application of fear. But it is the fool, the unwise, that has no fear of God. Those who behave as they choose, how they see fit, without any consideration of God, without seeking God for direction and wisdom, who he is and what he desires, the fools behave that way. And there's a tension here, if you will. The Bible says, fear not, be at peace. We've not been given a spirit of fear, and yet commands us to fear God. And I think there's a key to understanding that. I've said it before, but to not fear something or someone is to say you're equal to it or better than it. I'm not afraid of that. It's no big deal. I'm not afraid of that person. I'm not afraid of this thing. To fear God is to acknowledge who he is in his majesty and his glory, his awesomeness, his sovereignty. And in so doing, it is the beginning, the starting point of knowledge that will lead to wisdom. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I want you to see a process here. First, you seek after, you hunger for God's wisdom, his discernment and understanding. Then you begin to understand the fear of the Lord and you find the knowledge of God. And verse 6 is a fundamental key to your growing in God's wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God gives wisdom. He is the source. All that man has ever accomplished, and it's significant, is from God's wisdom. Whether people are willing to admit it or not, God is the ultimate source of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19. The Lord's wisdom founded the earth. His understanding established all the universe and space. The deep fountains of the earth were broken up by his knowledge, broken open by his knowledge, and the skies poured down rain. Man's advances in God is only God allowing them, I think, to understand in a little small part how he put things together in the first place. All that you've ever accomplished or achieved is a direct result of a gifting from God. We've talked about this in years past. I mean, typically we think of, we have a certain understanding of gifted. We think of gifted as maybe a gifted child or an individual who's practically gifted, a gifted surgeon or a gifted musician, perhaps somebody gifted working with their hands. And it's interesting, in the Old Testament, it calls out for very specific gifted individuals for building the temple, very clearly all these different things. And Exodus 36 makes it clear that while they sought these gifted individuals, that God gifted them for that time and that place. We think of gifted individuals as special, but the reality is, the Bible makes it clear, we are all gifted in one way or another. Every one of you have some sort of gifting or multiple types of gifting from God. Certainly there are those individuals that excel in certain areas. They take this gifting from God and practice it and hone it, if you will, apply themselves. The athlete or the musician that practices constantly, the craftsman who studies his trade and always trying to excel at the best he can be, excellence. But regardless of what you do, the ability to accomplish that is a gift from God. If you've pride yourself, applied yourself diligently and grown in an area of gifting, wonderful. We should be doing that. But it doesn't change the fact that the gifting, the things we function in our life, is a gift from God, your creator. And not to acknowledge that is pride or arrogance. Acknowledging God as your all source of wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. The pursuit of God's wisdom is a very good thing, the pursuit of it. There's a strong encouragement in several sections of Proverbs here for the pursuit of God's wisdom. Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Proverbs 8, 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Proverbs 8, 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. It's interesting in all of that. I mean, verse 13 says that wisdom hates the same thing that God hates. Wisdom will drive you towards God's ultimate plan and purpose for your life. And God tells us to pursue wisdom. We saw in Proverbs 17 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we said that knowledge, knowing, is one thing. Wisdom is the understanding, but knowledge, you know, wisdom is the application of knowledge. Now, you ready to get happy? I hope. Wake up a little bit here. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. First, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
But wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more. I don't know if you caught the latter part of that verse. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You're going to love that. Knowledge of the Holy One. Allow that to sink in for just a moment. Do you realize what a privilege and honor that is? How many people are totally confused by God? How many people completely misunderstand Him? And how many people have no real knowledge of Him? Many, many years ago, we had a family that came into the church, and they had lived a highly dysfunctional life. I mean, the father was gone a lot, driving in a truck a lot, drank a lot, and really dysfunctional. So the mother comes in, if I remember the story exactly, how she got saved, and he came in, and they began to come and have counseling, and he gets saved. And they really turn their life around. I mean, they're coming to church, they're coming to counseling, they're making, correcting past mistakes. I mean, their life was getting better than it ever had been. This went on for a while. Really changing and growing. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like, he had to have open heart surgery. He got mad at God. He had no real knowledge of God and didn't seek and apply it. He was mad. I remember him telling me, all these years I did all this junk, and now I'm trying to live for God, and he makes me have this surgery. Well, it was all his years of this horrible living, and no matter what we said, could convince him of that. I'm going to the hospital one morning. He went to the hospital. I went there to be with him, and he gets in the hospital, gets all gowned up, and he says, I'm done. He gets up and walks out and starts driving away. He was so angry, and his wife to convince him came back, and he had the surgery, but he never let go of that anger. He had no knowledge of the Holy One. He blamed God for it, and within a year, he was dead. His family came apart. His son killed himself a couple years later. I mean, a tragic story for somebody that refused to pursue wisdom and have no knowledge of God, and then we have the ability, the privilege to have knowledge of the Holy One that brings so much understanding with it. To know and understand His holiness, His character, and the power and the knowledge. The Word says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. New Living Testament says, to know and understand the holiness, character, and power of God, knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. And then Jesus told us this. What a powerful statement, John 17. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Not know about you, not know your name, but to know you. That all of eternity, everything about it is all boiled down to saying that you can know God, you can have knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And we realize this is only possible. It starts through our salvation process in Christ. But once saved, you have the opportunity to develop a reverence for God and His holiness and a pursuit of His direction and wisdom. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And note, beginning. That means you can grow in knowledge and grow in wisdom. It's only the beginning. That's the starting point. And Proverbs chapter 2 becomes a prescription, if you will, for God's wisdom. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Receive God's word, treasure, hide His commandments within you. Incline your ear, listen, seek wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. What a glorious prescription that's available to you and to me on a daily basis. It becomes a process in the pursuit of living in God's wisdom. And it's developing your heart and mind towards the things of God on a continual basis. How does God fit into this? How does God work on my life in this? Where does God apply to this? It's how you function in wisdom daily, and not just when you cry out when you're in trouble. I'm certainly not telling you not to cry out when you're in trouble, but why is that the only time we really cry out? Why aren't we asking God for His wisdom continually in every day of our life? And it's this developing of wisdom that keeps us out of trouble in the first place. And Proverbs continues on then. Chapter 2, 6 and following, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. What an incredible picture in Scripture. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, but as they're doing so, you know, we began this pursuit last week of looking for God's wisdom. And He's telling us that just we should pursue it. It's the most important thing, better than gold, ruby, silver, whatever. There's nothing more important in your life than possessing knowledge of the Holy One and functioning in wisdom in that knowledge and understanding God and who He is and how He fits in to all of that. What an honor and privilege. On a daily basis, we're surrounded with a worldview of what is acceptable and wise. The perverse ways of the world will erode your heart towards God, will undermine godly wisdom in your life. So let's purpose to seek God first and walk in His promise of wisdom. We saw in way of review from last week, we said, if any of you, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach and will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We looked this through last week, and we called part of it the tragedy of doubt. When we have doubt and we don't function in God's wisdom, all the bad things that happen in our life, it's a tragedy. It was unnecessary to not seek God's wisdom. And we asked, how would our lives be different if we sought God's wisdom on a daily basis? How would our lives be different now if we pursued God's wisdom? That God says you can seek for it on a daily basis in all that you do. How many more miracles will we see or experience? How much more of the blessings of God and how much more of the presence of God will we have in our lives when we seek and pursue Him and His wisdom on a daily basis? Let's stand together and worship our God. And if you need wisdom, this is a great time to seek Him for it. Amen.